You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's league encounter against Alfreton Town.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Marv, standing in for Cockers this week. Get well soon, Cockers. So, welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the football, also coming up in this week's show, we'll be hearing from FC United legend Carlos Rocca, as well as broadcasting legend Terry Christian. Or is that broadcasting legend Carlos Rocca, as well as FC United legend Terry Christian? One of those is right. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. Disappointing result for the Reds midweek as FC United depart this season's FA Cup, following a 2-0 defeat at Harrogate Town in the third qualifying round replay on Tuesday evening. It was much better news though for FC United youth team. They are through to the third qualifying round of the FA Youth Cup, following a marvellous 3-0 win over Gateshead on Wednesday night.
And it's going to be a free kick, going to be taken by Jack Ward, and it's right on the corner of the penalty box on this left-hand side.
59 minutes on the clock.
And it's 0-0 in the second qualifying round match between FC United and Gateshead. At stake, a place in the next round.
We're already in uncharted territory.
And it's going to be Jack Ward to take this. It's going to be an outswinger. Nearly everyone's in the box for this one. It's short.
Different.
Oh, and it's going to be a back heel. And that is Fuller with a sexy back heel there. That's fooled everyone. And FC United, rightfully, have gone 1-0 up. Right, justice at last.
The free kick drilled in low. You think it's going to go nowhere? The ball seemed to stop still. And Fuller back to goal. Back heeled it through the keeper's legs. And into the back of the net. So I think his family down there. There's four people still standing in the stand with their arms in the air.
It was a great goal, that.
It was a great finish.
They were queuing up, though. I think Gateshead were very short on that free kick. We'd said just before it was taken, literally everyone's in the box for this one, apart from the goalkeeper. And, well, it proved the case. And it caught Gateshead out in the six-yard box. And Shawcross tries to win that ball back, but it's now with Singh on this far side. And Gateshead are a quality side, I feel, and I do feel like they've let themselves down in the first 65 minutes.
Yeah, they've just put it straight to touch.
I know. Again, this is good commentary. This is exactly what we're here for. For those moments where we say something and get proved wrong. So Gateshead are going to win this 2-1, I feel. And the ball is on the left-hand side. Down the line it goes, but it's well read by Sam Baird, who chips the ball forward. Affleck tries to get it to Ward. Is Affleck going to get that second ball? He does well. And can play in Horner here. Horner beats one player, beats two.
What a goal
from Cameron Horner.
What an absolute blind.
But I tell you
goal.
What, special mention to Stephen Affleck. He was dogged, determined, wouldn't let that ball go, and played a beautiful pass to Cameron Horner, who drove into the penalty box. And on 67 minutes, it's FC United and Manchester 2, Gateshead 0.
I think you've covered all that there. Great ball in.
Great footwork by Horner.
Well, the footwork, yeah, absolutely. To actually, you know, because he was tight in, the defender was tight in on him. And to actually just keep hold of the ball, get it out of his feet, and then finish it in one movement. It was stunning.
Good layoff there from Shawcross. Back to O'Leary. O'Leary plays it infield to Davis. Davis takes a touch, gives it to Shawcross. Have a dig.
Yes.
He does. Oh!
What a goal! What a goal! Oh, a point to John Travolta. That's all about.
Shawcross. It, he needed convincing in his own mind.
He heard you.
Should he have a dig? All right, I might as well.
Ben's told me to shoot.
And he absolutely belted it into the top corner. A sensational goal.
Minutes.
And on 80 minutes, it's Gateshead 3-0 down.
FC will now travel to Wakefield's Nostell Miners Welfare in the final qualifying round. The tie will be played on Monday 17th of October at 7:30 kick-off. And staying with the FA Cup, look out for Women's Team Extra out on Monday morning for all the action from FC United's away trip to Norton and Stockton Ancients in the Women's FA Cup. Come on, the women's team. And that concludes this week's news. Back over to you, Marv. Thanks, Marv. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United hosted Alfreton Town in the league. With FC United looking to bounce back from their midweek cup exit, could FC take all 3 points in this one? Here's the FC Live team.
Topson's got to take this corner on that far side.
He just had a word with Harry Winter as he went over, so...
Training ground move. It's coming.
Could be.
It's going to be an outswinger just by the short start centre over there. In it comes, it's lofted towards the net.
Oh, wow! It headed off the line, and his shot comes in! And there is Kieran Kling on the back post there. A superb header from Asher, cleared off the line. Kling was there, alert as you like. And I'm 3 minutes on the clock here at Broadhurst Park. FC United are 1-0 up.
Fantastic. That was a training ground move. Ashworth and Tom Greaves switching, pulling off each other. Ashworth's header to reach the first corner, the ball that came in, it struck the man on the post, that's why he's there, but who reacts quickest? We had a toe poke from Eckersley, but Kieran Glynn with a nice composed finish at the far post.
We told you to expect goals today.
Yeah, there'll be a few more like that, I think.
Tong on the ball, gives it to Thompson. Thompson plays it first time into the box, held off there by Greaves towards Kieran Glynn, breaks to Wolverdon.
Deflected,
it was heavily deflected, but Wolfe, calm and composed on the edge of the box, he knew
Fantastic.
What he was doing.
He just dropped the shoulder, you know, enticed the defender, made it look so easy, just, you know, dropping the shoulder to turn his player. He's come inside, heavily deflected, but it was a shame.
11 minutes on the clock.
And 11 minutes gone, and FC United now 2-0 up, a goal there. Credit it to Wolfe. Like Emily said, it did take a bit of a deflection,
a wicked one. To, you know, the keeper was in the right place, but the deflection took it past him.
Free kick taken quickly, and here is Eckersley now on the ball, plays it out to this right hand side where Jake Williams is. Infield it comes to Glynn turns, leaves three blue shirts dead there, plays it to Wolfenden, who lays it off to Thompson now, and into the back shoot.
Oh wow, fantastic. That was superb from Thompson. You know, he knew exactly where he was. He knew where the players were. He's taken two touches to beat his defender, and he's picked his spot perfect.
Oh, 37 minutes. It's FC United, the Manchester, 3-0 up now against Alverton. The finish itself was beautiful. The build-up play, though, so simple.
Kieran
Glynn does one step over, leaves three blue shirts just standing there, and that then frees up a pass for unmarked red shirts a bit further forward. One of them was Thompson, who's got time to slot it home. Spies with this goal kick, it's a good one, and West Carr gets it to Smith shoots, and it's into the bottom corner, and that is FC United of Manchester 3 Alfreton 1. And well, literally out of nothing really, but
we literally just said that there's goals in this team. You know, it has come out of nothing, and it didn't really make too good a contact to get it in, and maybe that helped it on its way. But it's literally gone from one end straight to the other.
Proper Route 1 stuff, wasn't it?
It really was.
It's a throw-in going to be taken by Heaton, who's, as proved, got a very long throw. There's no one near this touchline, and the throw-in comes in straight towards that six-yard box, cleared by Ashworth. Is Marshall going to get to that ball? He does. Plays it out to Smith. Smith now on that far side. One footed, isn't it? And here's Westcap. Chips it through. Oh, that's a lovely ball. And I think Alfreton are going to score here. What a save from Carnell. And it was Paul Clayton just swanning in there. No one near him. And Carnell just gets a foot to it. A good save in the end. But I'll play for a corner. But it's bad.
They're not tight on there. They're just following shadows.
Westcar with this corner, going to be an in-swinger. In it comes. Oh, it's a poor one. Oh, it's flicked on. Oh, it's a goal.
I thought that was easily dealt with by Lowe, but it wasn't should've in been. The end. And Alverton have got a second goal here.
I think it was McGowan.
We were saying, you know, game of two halves and all that. We said.
Brad McGowan.
Half better.
Brad McGowan on 49 minutes, making it 3-2 now. We said FC United need to come out and just put this game to bed.
That's the whole play. That's the whole play from the minute Dale Tong followed his player in field and we allowed Allen to just run through.
West Carr's going to take this. It's going to be an in-swinger, two-man wall. It's pretty much in line with the corner of the 18-yard box. On this left-hand side, in it comes. Oh, it's towards the back post. A good header there. Carnell can only flap it out, and it gets to Smith, and Smith scores the equaliser. Three all, dear people at home.
This is all very predictable suddenly, isn't it?
Yes. Well, and you can send your letters of complaint to Stephen Wood. You go. 54 minutes on the clock. Free all.
They've got nobody else to blame other than themselves. It's the players' reactions. They're not reacting to the second ball. It was similar in the first half. The pace of the game was very, very slow, but it seemed to suit FC United a little bit more. But now, all that was, it was a great header from Clayton at the back post. Carnell's parried it into the six-yard box, but who reacts quickest? There are enough FC United players in there. They should be clearing that up easily.
So, free all now, and the press officer did say to me, we need to score four goals to get a point. That is looking quite a profound statement now, and,
it's unbelievable.
Looking likely. Lowe's just got to whip it in low and hard, with a lot of curl on it. It'll be neither of those things now.
81 minutes on the clock.
It's just got to hammer it, hasn't it? In it comes. Oh, it's cleared by Westcar. Doesn't beat the first man. Glynn gets that ball, heads it back. Thompson controls it at the edge of the box, bouncing all over the place.
Oh, yes! On the edge of the box. Superb. Breaks to Ashworth, who just bullies it.
Fantastic work, technique.
82 minutes gone. 4-3 to FC United. And let me remind you, dear listener, of what their press officer said. We'll need to score four to get a point. That is now actually the case for Alfreton.
And I think that makes him our joint top scorer.
Yeah, he can score some goals, Ashworth. He picks up some great positions in the box and, you know, he stays up. He doesn't run off after the initial attack has broken down. His technique there, volleyed. Keeper had no chance.
It was bad defending though from Alverton. I mean, they had about four opportunities to clear that.
Yeah, the ball was up and down in the air. It was bouncing around, players diving in. It was quite desperation. But as soon as the ball dropped, it just sat up so nicely for Ashworth. And fantastic volley.
See, people laughed when I called him the Steve Bruce, didn't they?
They did. They kept sending photographs in of Steve Bruce with Ashworth's face.
Yeah.
And that is full time. In one of the most bizarrest games of football I've ever seen at Broadhurst
this
Park.
Week.
Yeah.
This week.
This week. Well, we predicted this excitement. We knew from the start how Alfreton leak goals, and as do FC, and how FC can go ahead and should be comfortable and struggle to see out a game. but we've done it. We've done it. And deserved, I think.
Being 3-0 up. If you're 3-0 up and you don't take the 3 points, then something might have happened. So we do definitely deserve the 3 points.
We ask questions of ourselves all the time, though, every time we come back out and towards the end of the game. But a fantastic game of football. This is what you want. This is the excitement we need. We've had a fantastic crowd here, 2,500, all in full voice throughout the game. You know, prior to the game, the entertainment going on, you could really send, you know, a good sense of atmosphere. And it's filtered into the game. The players have worked hard. We've seen the front three. We've seen Tom Greaves, Matty Wolfenden and George Thompson linking up delightfully with some great runs, that first half in particular. And then they brought themselves into the game throughout the second. And that's what you want. That's the sort of performance that you're looking for. And we've managed to see out a game, and we're going away with three vital points.
And it is very vital point, to say the least. I think that takes us up to mid-table land. And we always say here on FC Radio, it doesn't matter about the result, just entertain us. Yeah. It's certainly been entertaining this afternoon.
We've got both, you know, entertainment and the result.
Yes, and you don't get that often. Alfreton have been very unlucky. Some of the chances they've created in that second half, to pull it back to 3-3 and then nearly make it 4-3.
Well, they'll be asking the same questions, you know, why are they leaking so many goals? Why do they go behind? My favourite player out of the day, Thomas Allen, fantastic. I think he almost had a chance at the end as well.
He did. It's been an absolute cracking game of football, attacking wise
certainly has.
I mean, this, what do you reckon, Paul, to all that?
Well, first of all, the 3 points are absolutely critical for our season. Before today, we'd only won 2 out of 12, and the third win today has pushed us up the table at least 3 or 4 places, I think. We still have defensive issues at the back, there's no doubt about that, and we've been watching that for a few weeks now. They've got to be resolved. Individually, I think Jake Williams again was good.
Reeves, Wolf.
As Emily said, players up front created a lot today.
And Thompson.
For us to go 3-0 up and squander that lead and then come back with the character to find a winner in the last 10 minutes is very impressive.
Yeah, it is. It's something that's been missing as well, you know, that belief from the players that, you know, we are deserving of 3 points and we are capable of producing some results, especially when you do go 3 up and then you allow yourselves to get back to level. It's difficult, especially, you know, you've had your half time, you've had your team talk, and then suddenly everything is blown up. You know, with 2 goals from Alfreton to get them right back level in the game. So credit to FC United and the way the players have handled themselves throughout the game. You know, we've kept going right to the end. Individual performances as well as team performances. For me, Matty Wolfenden was the difference.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, coming
We said that on Tuesday when he came on, it was clear that he should have started in that game.
He's a different class of player, you know. He knows the game, he can read the game, he knows when to track his player back, and his fitness level is key. He's not only is he quick, but he can last at the same pace for the full 90 minutes and more. You know, he'll track his players and he'll create opportunities and he'll run into the right areas and feed, you know, give Tom Greaves somebody to look for and somebody to feed.
Yeah, and it worked.
And it worked.
And we said that on Tuesday night. Where, as soon as Wolfie came on, it didn't just create some space for like Jake Williams to and encourage Jake Williams to come into the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also freed up Thompson to do his thing.
That's it. You know, it's something so simple, just to change the personnel just slightly, just tweak it. Different sort of player coming in, and it's his pace, you know, it's his pace and how he reads the game. It's difficult for the opposition, because to play one man up front on their own is easy to defend against, and then it allows you to use your midfield more. So when we've played Johnson on his own, he's clearly the target man, he's clearly the person that we're trying to get the ball to his feet. But if we don't have the runners off him, it doesn't work. So it allows the opposition to use their midfield more and really control the game.
And we said that at half time, that Lowe needs to come into it. And a couple of occasions.
I think he has.
Yes.
During the second half, he was producing a little bit more from midfield. He was making later runs and he was playing the ball into the box. I think the more he plays, the more games he plays, the more he's within this level of football, we'll see him develop a lot more. Nathan Lowe, he's a good player. For me, we still missed Sam Sheridan's presence in the midfield. I think that would have been it would have prevented Alfreton from getting back into the game as much as they played their way into it. But a great confidence booster, you know, come away knowing that these things are going right, and you know, coming away with 3 points.
And it's a great pat on the back as well to Kieran Glynn. At times, he in the second half, he might have looked a bit out of it, but he did come back into it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, there was a moment, and I think you know you picked up on it, and you mentioned, and it was at the time when it was getting quite fast, ferocious, and it was quite physical. and he was out on the our left hand side, and I thought, is he disappearing? In is the game moving away from him? And when we were looking to make the change, I thought that Jerome Wright coming on, I thought perhaps we would have taken Glynn off, moved players around a little bit, you know, a little bit of a restructure, but he didn't half come back into it there, especially the last 10 minutes. He was vital to the attacks, to keeping the ball and moving forward.
Closing thoughts, you've got 20 seconds.
With two away games to come, both difficult games on
very
paper.
Yes.
Be interesting to see who regains fitness quickly and whether we can shuffle the pack and solidify a bit at the back.
I'd go with it. This today has been a perfect blend of youth and experience.
And with Jerome Wright coming back in there, yep, we've got a communicator at the back.
Yes.
That could be vital for FC's season. You know, you're looking at the back. The
and
back
the other thing Jerome Wright brings, I know, you know, he probably won't like me saying this, doesn't half wind up forwards.
Yeah, well, you need that. You need that. He loves that. He plays on that.
So this has been FC Live. Couple of housekeeping notices. Tomorrow, Women's Team Live, boom, banger, bang. Third qualifying round of the Women's FA Cup. We'll be there live at Norton and Stockton Ancients. Join us at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for coverage of that one. Nerves can't take another game like this. Really can't, but we'll get through it. FC Live will return on Saturday next week. We'll be going to the new Buckshead Stadium. One of my favourite stadiums, actually. I quite like it. Don't care what anyone says. That's at Watling Street, Wellington, Telford, TF1 2TU. That's New Buckshead Stadium, TF1 2TU. If you can't make it, FC Radio will be there live from 2:30 p.m. next Saturday. My thanks to Emily Maguire.
Thank you.
My thanks to Stato Paul. You have been listening to FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and the Armchair Armour. It's finished 4-3. To FC United of Manchester. Coming up next is an all-new show with no name. You take care, kids. Bye-bye. Carl?
Yep.
One thing we've always said here on FC Radio, doesn't matter about the result. Clearly, we're in a very difficult league as long as we're entertained. That was... It was on the entertainment spectrum. It was a bit weird, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, you know, to go 3-0 and... then concede a you know, a real sloppy goal was very disappointing, and that probably gave them a little bit of momentum to go into half time. We saw it last year when we played Harrogate here, but then, you know, to keep going and you know, get the winners, very pleasing. Hopefully it's a little start to turn in the corner, really.
The press officer said to me that for Alfreton to get anything out of this, they're going to score 4 goals to get a point at least.
Right.
So at some point I thought, Jesus, they're going to get a 4th goal there. It was one of them games where it was literally end-to-end stuff.
Yep.
Very much like Boston, I thought, where the defences weren't really on top at all.
No.
But our attack line today has been exceptional, I thought.
Yeah.
All 3 of them have been superb.
All 3 of them, and also backed up by the midfield. I thought, you know, great... really pleasing for Kieran, you know, an 18-year-old lad to get a goal at this level of football is, you know, fantastic for him.
And the other thing to say about Kieran Glynn is we said it was a great pat on the back that he played the full 90 minutes.
Yeah.
There was a point in the second half where he went a bit missing, but then he came back straight into it again. Yeah. And you've got a good one there.
Yeah, you get that with young players. You know, they do tend to drift in and out of games. But, like I say, He's probably had a hand in all 3 goals, to be
absolutely
fair.
Absolutely, and Lowe came back into it as well. I mean, Lowe, I think, had a bit of a quiet first half, but second half, he did a lot of support work.
That's it. You know, he's another talented lad. You know, he's a little bit older than Kieran, but to be playing at this level of football is testament to his talent.
Now, it was a difficult night on Tuesday. It was you know, just a bit...
Yeah.
How have you managed to pick up the players after all that? How was Thursday night's training?
Thursday night's training's fine. It's always good. We've had somebody there, a lad called Steve Eyre, who's been helping us on a coaching front. He's you know, vastly experienced coach, and he gets the lads buzzing. And it's just a case of, you know, at the end of the day, once the final whistle's gone, there's nothing you can do about it other than try and put it right for next week. And you know, we've managed to do that from Tuesday and then obviously today to get them 3 points. And I mean, I don't really look at league tables too much, but I think
it's a bit early days.
Yeah, I think we're that shall, I would imagine, have secured us a rise.
We're in mid-table land, I think.
That's somewhere mid-table land.
One of the players who I picked up on Tuesday night when he came on was Wolfenden. In his 5 minutes he was on, he missed a sitter, to be fair, but it was one of those nights, wasn't it? But created so much as well, and so much space for other players and stuff. Is that why he was selected today? That 5 minutes where it was like...
Yeah, well, yeah, there was that. But also, you know, we've got plenty of options in them wider areas. And Wolf is, you know, he's never far away from the team sheet. And, you know, today was just one where I thought he'd be the... It'd be, you know, one for him to start, really. And you know, he's got his goal and worked hard, and you know, never gives a minute's peace. And I'm pleased for him, really.
And when it comes to the next set of matches, we've obviously got Telford coming up. We have got a couple of injuries. It was good to see Jerome Wright come back. I think that was the first time he's kicked a ball on a pitch since August 12, I think it was. It was a long time ago.
I don't know. It's a long time.
2 months nearly. Yep. So it's a long time. It's good to see him back on.
Yep.
I think he'll add a lot because he's got the vocal stylings as well, as well as being someone who can push forward.
At the end of the day, he's our club captain, and he does that really well.
But we have got some injuries as well. We've obviously got Sheridan, who's injured at the moment. Chandler obviously picked up a knock at the end of the Harrogate game last Saturday. How are we doing with on the injury front?
Yeah, we're okay. This obviously, like anything, you always have a couple. Scott Kay was suspended today as well.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're all right.
And a couple of youngsters who've been on the fringes. This is obviously Glyn's first proper push out, and he's done really well. But there's a couple of players who have also been excellent prospects who've been on the margins. One of them is Kasimba and Harry Pratt. Yeah. Both have gone to Clitheroe
on a dual reg.
Cracking club, battling out Division 1 North at the minute for the playoff positions. Is that what we were talking about when developing players?
Yeah, definitely. You know, rather than not playing, if we can get them to play at a level that's going to bring them on, which that level of football will, it's only going to be good for them and good for us in the long run.
So next up, Telford United. Yep. Little tip, get a substitute goalkeeper. It's very important. Very, very important. Of all the games, it's the only time I'm ever going to tell you who to pick.
Right.
Get no a substitute problem. Goalkeeper. Carl, any closing thoughts on just the overall performance?
No, just that, you know, hopefully people have come along and enjoyed the day, and certainly I've got a few more grey hairs because of it.
Well, lovely suit. Can I say that? You're very dapper today.
Thank you.
Carl Madison, manager of FC United, thank you for joining us.
Cheers, man.
FC Alive there from Saturday afternoon. That result has lifted FC United to 14th in the league, which is much more like it, I think we can all agree. Very shortly, we'll be hearing from Terry Christian, following his appearances at Corsican Malcolm's on Saturday. But before that, it's a return to an FC United legend.
We said it earlier, we're joined by a very special guest, the return of the living legend, right wing, left wing, flary as you like, we're joined by Carlos Rocker. Hello, Carlos, how are you?
Hi, mate.
So, welcome to Broadhurst Park. Is this your first time here?
No, I've been a couple of times.
But it's your first time back on the radio since you left.
Yes.
How have you found it post FC United? What have you been up to?
Since leaving, I've really gone down the coaching route and sort of stayed in the game as much as I can that way. So, really sort of coaching, set up my own football academy. I'm just really looking to develop players and give them the chance to go into football if it's something they want to do.
Because one of the things you were doing while you were playing for us, you were getting that coaching signed up, because you were doing a lot of work with Swampy, I'm sorry about that, with Swampy in the community and that kind of thing. That would have been a good name for those courses, actually, Swampy in the community. But that's where you started to get that light bulb switched on, and now you're taking it to another level, and today you've sponsored the match.
Yeah.
What's this academy? Where is it all based, and how's it doing?
Basically, my private football academy is called Pro Football Academy. Set it up about 2 years ago. It's been really successful. We've had loads of boys come into the academy and then move into professional clubs, and they still come back to us for extra coaching. Our main centre is based in Withinshaw, and we're opening up on a new one in Failsworth next month. So looking to grow it.
Brilliant. And obviously North Manchester is, we're hoping with FC United being it's going to become a hotbed, but you've got clubs like Oldham in the area, obviously, but then you've got some cracking amateur clubs like Avro and Royton and Chadderton. They've got their development squad as well, so you've got this hotbed up here. What age range are you looking at to develop?
We look at anything sort of 5 up to 16s. and we're looking for, you know, for the players that really want to come and get extra coaching. So it's not so much you can't play for your normal team, so you stay with your teams that you're with. It's coming to us for the boys that really need and deserve that extra bit. So if they have got potential and they want to really push it and fulfil it, then that's what we set up for, really, to sort of work with those players that really want to push on.
So if you're a parent and you're listening to this, where can people go to find out more about how they can get Carlos Roca teaching the kid?
If they go on to, first of all, if you go to our website, which is pro-footballacademy.com, on the academy page, it's got everything on there regarding the new centre at Failsworth, where you can sign up for your trials, and then you can get booked in, and we'll see you down. November the 7th is when we start. We run the academy from 5 till 8:30.
And whereabouts in Failsworth is it?
It's at Failsworth School.
Right, brilliant.
Yeah.
What did you make of today? Just to let you know, in Red Rebel Radio this afternoon, with Swamper and myself, Swampy said that if I was Carl, I would literally grab Carlos Roca and say, get your boots, sunshine. Tap him up is what the word he used, and get you back on. What did you make of the quality of football? And do you ever fancy making a return? Steve Torpy style.
Yeah, Torpy style. I think... It's a funny game. Very physical. I couldn't believe how big they were, both teams, which was interesting. The first thing I noticed when I got here was massive physical and Alfreton having three subs.
Yeah, so that's weird too.
Yeah, so they're the two things for what's going on. Regarding the game, just a bit bitty, bit scruffy, but they get, you know, you get games like that, and it's, you've got to come out and try and just nick what you can out of it, and today they've done that.
Absolutely.
They've got the 3 points.
The press officer for them said to me before the match kicked off, this match is going to play out like this. We're going to need to score 4 goals to get a point. And when when they set up here for that equaliser near the end, then I was like, oh my God, they're going to score 4 goals. It was a bizarre game of football. What have you made of FC United this season from afar?
Not really... been down here that much to see it, so I always trace the results. I always see how they're doing. I've got a lot of time for the club. Obviously, I've had some great years here, probably some of the best years of my career. So, I'm always wanting to see them successful. Looks from the outside that it's a bit tough start.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me because obviously I've been in the club and we've had many of those.
Yeah.
January time, February time, things tend to generally change.
Yeah. Good. Right. I'm glad you pointed this out. As soon as you started talking, then I went, I must ask him this question. I asked a board member this last week. Why do FC United have bad starts? Because you've been here for some of the classic bad starts that we've had, where suddenly we then get to a playoff final.
I know.
what's the beef?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Believe me.
No one can.
We don't want it, but when you're stuck in it, it's not nice.
But that's what we're hoping for this season anyway, that kind of... I love roller coasters anyway.
Yeah.
Carlos, thank you for coming on.
No worries.
I did say that after 70 seconds I'd stop the interview and say that's enough from you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. Good luck with the new academy.
Thank you.
Good luck with the existing setup as well in Withinshaw. What's the address for that one, just so people...
Same, pro-footballacademy.com, and that's at Manchester Enterprise Academy in Withinshaw.
Brilliant. Carlos Roca, legend. Thank you for joining
us. Thanks, mate. Take care.
Carlos Roca there, following FC United's 4-3 win against Alfreton Town on Saturday afternoon. As well as 3 points, Saturday also saw the long-awaited return of Corsican Malcolm, the pre-match club night in the afternoon. And one of the acts appearing on stage was Terry Christian.
So we're now joined by the living legend who is Terry Christian. Hello, Terry, how are you?
Don't say living legend, I can't. That just makes me feel even older than I am.
Living Terry Christian.
Well known, because I've been around for ages and ages.
How was your debut at Malcolm's?
No, fantastic. I mean, Rob Brady's asked me to do something here for ages, but I've always lacked the courage of my own lack of convictions, if that makes any sense. So I never get round. I always say yes to everything and never get round to doing it. I've always found that quite a useful tool, really, you know. There is that thing about me, you know, where I will always say that is that it's that inner people pleaser.
What was it about Rob Brady's pleading and the actual... invite to come that made you come?
Well, no, he didn't plead, Robert. I've always been a massive fan of his. I used to always buy United with Stand fanzine just because of his column, Abbey Hay. And then I accidentally bumped into him. I think it was one night out on a freebie. Funnily enough, with Paul Gallagher, Nolan Liam's older brother. So it would have been kind of summer of 96, around the time of the Euros, and that's when I first met him, and I've been like reading his stuff in United with Stan for years before then.
what have you come here today to talk about?
Well, nothing. I just came down, chatted about a few sort of Manchester people, and just to kind of say hello and thanks for asking me.
I heard cheers, I heard laughter, I heard applause. So you must have said something to her.
I talked about Carolina Hearn, I talked about Tony Wilson, I talked about some of the maverick qualities of Manchester, talked about my own twisted upbringing, you know.
Because you got a book out at the moment, or you did have?
I've done three books. The latest one that came out in 2006.
That's the one. There where you got
that
some
one
rosy
that came
beads.
Out 10 years ago.
That one where you got some rosy beads.
No, I must get. No, that's not a book. That was a stand-up show I did a couple of years ago.
Right, okay.
I did the last one.
This
of them
isn't
about a year ago.
Terry, this isn't Imagine FM. I can't afford researchers. Right, go on.
You're telling me.
Yeah, yeah, no.
No, I'm proud of you because when I did the word, we always had a 100% commitment to no research whatsoever.
That's
quite admire this. No, I did do a book. I've done three books. The one about 10 years ago, My Word. It was good, actually, because I went through five sets of lawyers and yet still reads scurrilous. How did he get away with that? But, of course, he's tightened up on everything now. But I remember at the time when I was writing it, you get phoned up by the editor going, Terry, paragraph 3, page 128, can you change that sentence? He was a complete and utter the first order to something a bit more delicate. But that helps your writing.
Third order, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. There might be a numbers thing with blokes, it always is, isn't it?
So what are you up to nowadays then, Terry?
I've been getting a lot of gigs on Radio 4 recently, so I was on Radio 4, I'm on again next week on It's Not What You Know. That's quite funny because the person of Pitts, it's like a Mr. and Mrs. type show. Person of Pitts who knows me is R. Kev, who's my younger brother.
Right.
But he's the only one out of six of us who supported City and grew up in Old Trafford.
How was that for him?
Quite good. He's funny. He's very funny and dry, R. Kev. He would always go against the grain. He's only ever been to like three City matches in his life. And I took him to two of them. And the other one was my first City match and his, which my dad took me to, who didn't really support anyone, but he got free tickets off a bloke at Esso where he worked. And it was for the League Cup quarter-final, 1969-70 season. City actually won it that year against Queen's Park Rangers. Wow. So that's it. What it was our Tony annoyed him and I annoyed him, and his way of annoying us was to be a City fan.
Exactly. Well, that's what families. I was going to say. He's literally on a wind-up there because he's not that committed, is he?
So he's on a wind-up there, but that's me as a United fan. I always the most fun I always had was just annoying City fans or anyone else come to that.
You mentioned Big United there. What have you made of everything that's going on at United over the last few years?
I've just not liked it. I thought, you know, although United fans have had a go at me about this, I still thought the way that Moyes was treated was terrible. All right, he wasn't the man for the job in the end, but then you kind of think they didn't give him any money, he didn't get a lot of support, he didn't get anything. Louis van Gaal, I remember everyone slagged me. There's a great bit I did on YouTube before a ball was kicked last season, and I predicted everything, although I thought we'd finish fourth. I said it'll be the worst, most boring football we'll see all year, and I blamed him for everything, and he's gone. And guess who I didn't want to get the job?
Jose.
Yes.
Have you not shared that kind of wave of optimism that was all over the place in the summer?
It's one of those, you can't do worse than Van Gaal, can you? You know, so it's like, and especially he's had the money to spend, and yet at times they've looked very LVG, haven't they? You know, they try a bit harder, but that's because he's desperate to get the result. He knows what he's up against. He knows he's drinking at the last chance saloon here. Because as United fans, we all know if that Scholesy goal had counted, he'd still be managing in Portugal, wouldn't he?
Yes. When it comes to United, then what's your view for the future when it comes to United?
It's not. I mean, this is one of the weird things. You know, you can't get to my age and be as bothered as you were when you were 14, because it's disconnected. You know, I mean, I went to United. It was so cheap. You know, it was, and I hardly got any pocket money, and I could just about afford to go to United on pocket money. It used to be like, you know, 10p to get in, then 15p, 20p. When we were promoted from Division 2 to Division 1, a league match ticket book that season for 76-77 season was, it was the following season after that, was £7 for a junior. So that meant for 21 games it cost you £7. I bought Stevie Wonder Songs in the Key of Life around the same time. That cost £6.20. So let's that puts it in perspective.
That I can understand. Right.
No. What I'm saying, so a United League match ticket book for 21 games was 80p dearer than a double album with a bonus 7-inch single in.
My dad went back to United for the first time in 10 years last week. I think for the Leicester match, I think it was. And even though it was a great performance, he was surrounded by people taking selfies of themselves, and he absolutely hated it.
Well, I suppose you would have had that back in the day anyway. Had people had that.
Selfies?
But most people...
In 2005?
Well, most people wouldn't have even had cameras, would they? You know, people wouldn't have had like... Certainly not back in the old days, but you would get people bringing cameras to matches and
just
all
to
that.
Just to say, my dad's appeared on about 68 different Facebook accounts just from that 2 hours spent in that corner section. What's your view on FC United then?
Well, I think it's a fantastic idea. I loved everything about it, and it's amazing that it's got to this level. Where they've got this ground, it's got a real kind of warmth about it. If any could get here, then I'd probably come.
Yeah. The 52.
I'd have had him Bramall, darling.
The 52 come. Oh, right, Bramall. I thought you were Stretford.
Take me about 4 weeks to get here in from Stretford. Who goes to Newton Heath? A mate of mine lived with his first girlfriend in Newton Heath, and we just thought that's not going to last.
No,
you could live that far away from anywhere.
That's true.
Well, I know it sounds terrible, but again, if I lived round here, I would come. I just think it's fantastic.
Well, just to let you know, the bus timetables are available in the office foyer downstairs.
Look,
the 52 is a great old bus.
I grew up on a council estate. We were poor. I was on free school dinners. But you know one thing I won't do?
Get on a bus.
I won't travel steerage on the train, and I will not get on the bus.
Terry, it's been a pleasure having you on. Apologies for the lack of research, but I think I did better than my predecessor, Swamper. thank you, Terry Christian.
Terry Christian there from Saturday afternoon. And that's just about it from me, but before I go, just a quick mention for the reserve side. They're in league action this coming Friday away at the Richmond International Academic and Soccer Academy. That's taking place at the Leeds Metropolitan University at Beckett's Park. Kick-off on Friday night will be 8 p.m. While the youth team are also in action this week as FC host Preston North End on Wednesday afternoon. Kick-off at Broadhurst Park will be 2 p.m. And that's it from me for this week's show. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to F1 involved in FCM Radio and the club as a whole. Get well soon, Cockers. Thanks for listening, and from me, Marv, see you next time.